The Bible says, then came there two women, verse 16, that were harlots to the king and stood before him. The one woman said, oh, my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house. I was delivered of a child with her in the house, and it came to pass the third day after I was delivered that this woman was delivered also. We were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. This woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. She arose at midnight and took my son from beside me, and while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. When I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. The other woman said, nay, but the living son, the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, no, but the dead is thy son, the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, the one saith, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other saith, nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is the living. Now don't keep reading. Stop right there. Stop. Look up. Now you've read it. You know it already. So stop right there. There were two women, and babies born 3 days apart. One child dies. And these women stand before the king. Now, what's important, he tells us that there were two harlots. Why do we need to know that? We need to know this because these two women have come to a point in their lives with such little value for themselves that they sell their bodies. We could draw a whole lot of assumptions and make presumptions about what that means and their background, where they came from, what kind of education level they had, what their family lives might have been as they were brought up, what kind of town they might have lived in, what section of town now they live in. And we could draw a whole lot of assumptions, but I won't paint that picture for you. I'll let you paint that picture for yourself. The point being this, they reached a point in their lives or had such little value for their own bodies and for their own souls that they sell their bodies. That's why we use the term harlot. And yet, something happened. They each got pregnant. That'll change your life, won't it? That can change everything. One woman has a baby. Wonderful, beautiful, fabulous. 3 days later, the other one has a baby. Exciting, marvelous. And then something tragic happens. The one child dies in the night. It's hard. Just to imagine it. And I know some of you have experienced it. It's tragic. Rather than face it, rather than mourn her child and grieve and process it and try to survive it and grow through it, rather than celebrate her child and the time she had, she takes it and she swaps it out with the other woman's baby. Now remember, the other woman's baby is 3 days older. There's been a little bit more time to bond. There's little, people talk about how all babies look the same, but if it's your baby's the most beautiful baby that's ever been born, right? You say, boy, that's a pretty baby. I heard a preacher say one time he'd never seen a pretty baby till his grandson was born. The first pretty baby he'd ever seen. This one is so selfish and so dishonest and so hurt that she doesn't care whom else she hurts. Because she's hurting, other people should hurt too. Because she's lost, other people should realize loss too. Rather than accept what's happened, including her guilt, and begin grieving and healing. She tries to cover her shame and bury her grief. Let me tell you something this morning very plainly, and I know a lot of our people can understand this. If you try to bury it, it will come up again. You've got to process it. You've got to deal with it. You've got to face it. That means counseling. That means talking. That means praying. That means telling that story again and again. It's incredible how we revisit those stories. But if we revisit them in a therapeutic way, we can get to a point where they're no longer haunting us in our dreams and nightmares. They're no longer appearing out of nowhere and ruining our day and our life at that season. Grieve. Cope. Get some help. Her chosen solution would only mask her loss and delay her coping and healing. That's alcohol. That's drugs. All the stuff we try to fill our lives with because we don't want to face the truth. And I'm telling you this morning, face the truth. I'm telling you this morning, it's time to open our eyes and open our hearts and accept the reality and see where we go from here. But stop lying to yourself. Deal with it. Face it. Yes, when we look at these troubles, sometimes the mountain that it takes to climb and to overcome is tremendous and it's harsh. But if we're ever going to get better, we've got to stop denying reality. Her solution would not fill her emptiness. At the end of the day, if she got that other woman's child and held that child and raised that child still in her heart and still in her mind, she would know she lost her own. It would not replace the one that was gone. Her loss was a real loss. It was a true heartbreak. It would continue to hurt her and haunt her until she faced it. But rather, she says, I'll just cover it up. I'll just pretend like that's not what happened. But in her heart, she knows. Guys, we can pretend that God doesn't exist. You can call yourself an atheist, an agnostic, and you can say, well, or a humanist, whatever you want to call yourself, and you can lie to yourself, and you can bring up all these other people that lie to themselves too, and use them as witnesses, and use their testimony as evidence, but it doesn't change the fact that there is a God, and there is a heaven, and there is a hell, and there was a cross, and Jesus died on that cross to wash your sins away, and the only way you're ever going to get to heaven, and the only way you're ever going to have forgiveness is to put your trust in Jesus. Let Him wash your sins away. Stop lying to yourself. Stop denying the truth. Denial doesn't help. Cry. Pray. Talk to friends, counselors, process it, recover from it. But her only solution was to spread the pain. You ever get your feelings hurt? You know, when we get our feelings hurt, we want to get mad at somebody else. We want to hurt somebody else's feelings. And so, rather than just be hurt and just say, well, I'm just hurt, and I'll just go over here and hurt a little while and figure it out and get over it, we decide to be like a bull in a china cabinet. We're going to tear everybody's day up. Wrong. Wrong attitude. It doesn't solve anything. We can't solve things just because we don't get our way by being a bully and by being a... what's the word? By hurting other people. This woman, because her feelings are hurt, because she's grieving, because she's got lost, rather than just say, well, it was my loss, and I'll just accept it, and I'll just take it, and I'll just move on. No, she decides she's going to hurt somebody else. I was standing there while two men were talking the other day, and one was kind of scolding the other. And the guy that was getting scolded looked at him and said, okay. And I thought, wow, that was easy. And then he opened his mouth and I said, stop. Leave it where you left it. Just say okay and walk on. But we're not satisfied with that, are we? We get our feelings hurt, we want to hurt back. When we feel pain, we want to give pain. And that's not the way it should be. We should be problem solvers. And so if that means I've got to think about it, I've got to mull it over, I've got to work out the solution, and I come back with a better solution later, then that's what we should do. But don't just fire back. Don't hurt back and don't spread pain. Healing takes time. If feelings got hurt, then it's going to take time to get better. So give it time. May take a week, may take a month, may take a day, may take an hour. But when people you love do things and say things that hurt you, or when you experience a loss, realize you don't just get better the next moment. We've got a lot of loss. This has been a tough year for us. We've lost some church members to death. I mean, they've gone to heaven, and I'm happy for them. But it's been tough. The loss is deep, and I see the loss, and I feel the loss, and there's something missing, isn't there? Well, they're missing. Part of our joy went with them. And that's just how it works. But that doesn't mean we quit. We know where they are. And so we can't just give up and quit. We got to keep living, and we got to keep going, and we got to be a blessing. This woman decides she just cover it. She just bury it. She just pretend like it didn't happen. That doesn't work. It's a lot of pain and a lot of grieving. And we can't pretend like it's not there. And I want you to know something. I'm glad that God has us together so we can help each other through it.
Amen.
Because we need each other. But healing takes time. Trust God with the process. Give your pain and your guilt to God. Confess and ask forgiveness. Accept God's forgiveness. And extend forgiveness. Forgive right now. Look, if you're here this morning and you're hurt and you're mad and you're holding a grudge, right now, from your heart to God's heart, say, God, I forgive them. Because you can't move on. You got to forgive. You got to forgive. That doesn't mean that things go back the way they were. But you got to forgive so you can get beyond it. Because as long as you're holding on to it, it's holding you down. It's an anchor. Some people say, I wonder who he's talking to. This is a very pastoral message. This really digs in to where we are, to where we live. Solomon was wise. Solomon says, bring me a sword. Look at that. Verse number 24. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was to the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, oh, my Lord, give her the living child, and no wise slay it. The other said, let it be neither mine nor thine. Divide it. And you know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid there's some people who would rather tear things up than to lose something. But love says salvation. Love says save the child. Even if I can't have it. Love says I love too much to let this beautiful baby be destroyed. So if in order for the child to live, I have to give a sacrifice and do without, then let her keep the child. That's what happens when we love something. That's what happens when we love somebody. We can hold a grudge and we can get mad and we can let that one moment of hurt feelings or sideways words or sharpness, whatever it is, we can let that one moment destroy friendships, destroy families, destroy churches, destroy businesses, other organizations, because we're going to allow this one moment when somebody said something they shouldn't have said because they were being sideways or they were in a bad mood or they were hurt. And if we let that affect us such a way, we just tear the whole thing down. Is that really how we are? Is that really how you want to be in your life? Y'all's minds are going 100 miles. Just listen to the message, guys. Let me give you a tip about preaching. Don't try to figure out what I'm talking about. Try to figure out how it applies to you. Because I'll tell you something, I'm not talking about anything but the Scripture. Y'all are trying to figure, who's he talking to? I told you, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Just take this message and say, God, is there anything in my life that I'm destroying by my attitude and my selfishness and my dishonesty? Is there anything in my life that instead of giving to, instead of being a blessing, I'm taking away and I'm stealing? Is there anything in my life where I'm more of a taker than I am of a giver? And is there anything in my life that I love so much that I'm willing to lose over it? I don't know about you, but I know. Let me just tell you, my wife's not here this morning, so I can talk freely. Y'all don't tell her I said that. But you know there are some things in a marriage that you can get mad about and fuss about until all you ever do is fuss. Or you can just learn to look at it and say, it doesn't matter. And whether that's, well, we got little kids, man, the living room, there's toys and everything like that. And you can either learn to make those children fear your presence or fuss at them all the time. And I'm for discipline and I'm for order. But I'm telling you, we've got to let them be kids. And you can fuss at your wife or you can fuss at your husband till you destroy what's there. Do you love it enough to shut your mouth and just let it be? Y'all didn't know you came to marriage conference, did you? Guys, the truth is that we get upset about things and we say, Solomon, get the sword out and just destroy it. Why? Because it matters more to us that we get our way. This was not about the child to the one. She just wanted to win. A discussion and argument's got to be about the truth and about right, not about winning. When you learn that, you'll be able to have a conversation instead of an argument. Solomon knew that love would deliver the child. The true mom chose salvation, even if it led to her own pain and her own loss. We've got to forgive. Well, it's my right. You have no business. What are we destroying because of our rights? What are we destroying because we want to get our way? I'll tell you, I told the Sunday school lesson, the class this morning, I said, I really struggled with God because I don't want anybody to misunderstand what I'm saying. I don't want you to think, well, Brother Derek preached that because he was trying to get me to do this. I don't want you to put Brother Derek in this message. Go home and read the text again and say, Lord, give me something out of it. If you think that I'm trying to tell you to do something, you better get with God about it because it doesn't matter what I'm trying to tell you to do. But at the end of the day, this is the message God wanted. I struggled with it. We went back and forth over it. This is God's message today for us. And the message is this. Love it enough to save it. If it's God's will. But don't live in denial. Somebody say, well, he's trying to get me. You might be living in denial. There may be some things in our lives that we've got to separate. There may be some things in our lives that we've got to divide. There may be some things, some people in our lives we've got to get away from. Don't deny the truth. Don't deny reality. Face what's there. Accept the loss. Grieve the loss. Process the loss. Because if you bury it, it's going to keep coming up and keep coming up and keep coming up. Don't mask it with drugs and alcohol. Don't hide it with activities. Face what's there and deal with it and then move on. But whatever you do, don't allow the pain in your life to spread pain into other people's lives. Because you're being selfish. That is not what God would have us to do. Let's stand.